Greetings and salutations to those of you who navigate in the YouTube zone. It's a realm that you might compare to the shoals of a vast ocean. Shoals being the shallow border zones of the ocean, right? Shoals. The shoals of the great IT ocean. You know, or don't you know, that delving into the internet is like delving into an ocean of ones and zeros. And there you swim around. And there you dive. Trying to divine some kind of truth which maybe you can't define. Reaching for some information that might bring to your mind a happy configuration. This is John Lash, recording on the 16th of December, 2018. Now, it's been a while since you've heard from me. It's been some months since I've posted anything on Mandela Effect Decoded. And as you can see, this channel has been emptied of most of its content. In the meantime, since you last heard from me on this channel, I've been occupied with the Sophianic School of Arts and Sciences, otherwise known as NEMATA. You can find that on the internet at the link provided in the description. You may also notice that the content of metahistory.org, which has been online since July of 2002, has also been removed. And that content is in migration to appear in a different arrangement in NEMATA. So that's what I've been up to. And what I'm up to right now, just coming back briefly to your attention, to swim a few strokes with you through the shoals of the IT ocean. What I'm up to right here, right now, is something of a little preview. It's a glimpse of things to come. I refer not only to something forthcoming from me, to some work, some talks, some teachings, some commentaries forthcoming from me, and as well, it's a preview of something that is coming to the world in 2019. And it's been on the way now for over a decade or so. There's a phenomenon developing that I would compare to a massive storm front on the horizon. My role as a teacher along Gnostic lines, which doubles with my role as a comparative mythologist, is to read the weather of the human psyche and the weather conditions of the mind of the planet itself. So I read what I've called the emotional weather of the Aeonic Mother, Sophia, which is a Gnostic name for the living presence of the superorganism you inhabit, commonly called the Earth. So in my calling, in this vocation, which has some shamanic aspects to it, bear in mind that shamans through the ages have been known not only for predicting the weather, but for causing the weather or changing the weather. So my vocation places me in this situation where I observe these massive weather fronts and other activities that unfold in the realm of the collective unconscious, in the realm of the human psyche. There are activities, there are actions, movements, developments unfolding in the collective psyche of the human species that can be compared to the jet stream or El Nino or various other massive planet-wide meteorological phenomena. So, I'm kind of like a weatherman who follows and tracks these developments, and I report on them to you from time to time. What I'm reporting on in this small talk is a phenomenon that has been called what? Well, it has several names attached to it, and it has several memes floating around it. But for the purposes of this little preview of mine, I would describe it in this way. Picture a triangulation of three vectors. You could say that each one of these vectors is a kind of meteorological condition, typical of a storm front, typical of cyclone formation, tornadoes, tsunamis, that sort of thing. I observed that for a little over a decade now, going back to 2008 actually, three topics have been developing, mainly through the alternative media of the internet. And these three topics are building into massive topics of interest, into massive areas of fascination for countless millions of people, I would suppose. It would be modest to say that these three topics in development have captured the attention of millions of people, no question about it. So let me describe the triangulation that I'm seeing of these three vectors that are converging on each other, and which I suspect will combine into a massive event in the year 2019. First vector derives from the work of a Russian mathematician called Anatoly Fomenko. His work has been in development, well, for decades in Russia, since the 70s or early 80s. Fomenko has produced an immense output in the form of several volumes of works, and a lot of his work, or all of his work, was conducted in Russia. But it was around the year 2008 that Fomenko's work began to come to the attention of the Western world through various channels, his books in English translation, and various YouTube channels which took up the study of his work, which has been called the New Chronology, and various other things which escape me at the moment. So there's the stolen history, excuse me, that's another meme. Stolen history, the New Chronology, that's the Fomenko vector. Now, additional to that, picture that vector coming in from the top and the left. Top left and coming down to a center point, which is right in front of your eyes. Now go over to the right and picture another vector coming down, top right, to converge with the Fomenko vector. That is the vector of the New Earth channel on YouTube. That is spelled as one word, N-E-W-E-A-R-T-H. This channel was founded in November of 2011, hence going on about 7 years now. Currently it has 7,600,000 views it has accumulated, and it has a subscriber base of 85,000. Anyone who has come across the New Earth channel will immediately have been struck by the soft charm and alluring quality of the woman who delivers most of the material on that channel, and that would be Sylvia Ivanova from Bulgaria. Now, I happen to once have had a Bulgarian companion, and I remember that time, 8 or so years ago, I remember at that time that I was so charmed by the Bulgarian accent of this individual who spoke excellent English, as does Sylvie Ivanova. So one of the features of the New Earth channel is the sweet, soft persuasion that comes through the vocal delivery of the channel creator. There's a vast amount of rare and unusual research material attached to Sylvie's work. Her channel is linked to megaliths.org, which is Russian language primarily, but it's bilingual. And I have to hand it to Sylvie that she has turned up some extraordinary material. She is a highly accomplished researcher. Her research has covered mainly two areas. One of them is the area of megalithic sites and unusual geologic formations around the world, but principally in Europe. So Sylvie and her team, I suspect there is a team associated with her, have gone to these sites. She's not fooling around. She shows you where she goes, and she talks about what she has seen with her own eyes and touched with her own hands. So Sylvie has done a tremendous amount of valuable field work. The second area of her research has been in the realm of ancient documents, or even more recent documents, or say scientific documents from the 19th century that clearly describe the construction of free energy machines, to use one example. She has turned up some extraordinary writings, most of them in Russian or other Slavic languages, and she has directed the attention of those who follow her channel to some sources of information in the Western world going back to the 16th century, going back to the Middle Ages, including many, many maps of the world that are difficult to find. So there's a massive compilation of material at New Earth and megalithics.org. I would characterize the content of what Sylvia Ivanova produces in this way. To some extent, and to a large extent, she merely presents evidence. She presents the finding of her research, whether that be the evidence of megalithic sites or whether that be the evidence of obscure Greek and Latin documents that were connected with the compilation of historical chronology as we know it. There's also another feature of Sylvie's work that I want to bring to the forefront of your attention. At times, she speculates on different matters. And the speculation that she offers has to be carefully distinguished from the evidence that she offers. Evidence is just evidence. Stonehenge is evidence of something. The rock temples of Malta are certainly evidence of something. Megalithic structures of Peru and Mexico are evidence of something. But as I noted in the Gnostic investigation of the Mandela effect, all the clues in the world don't count if you don't know what crime has been committed. So all the evidence that Sylvie gathers or anyone gathers doesn't get you anywhere unless you know the crime that has been committed. That is to say, unless you can construct a narrative that supports a proof process that will lead you to conclusions based on that evidence. Clear enough? Now, Sylvie is somewhat reticent and discreet about disclosing the conclusions that she has made based on the massive body of evidence that she's accumulated, whatever those conclusions may be. She hints at them from time to time. I just want you to be aware that in the matters that I am elucidating here, if you're going to go into it in a responsible way, you have to exercise your probative faculty and you have to be sober and steady in developing a narrative of proof based on given evidence. The other factor that plays into Sylvie's exposition is the ayahuasca connection. And so at the beginning of her channel, she was concentrating largely on ayahuasca and talking about being in the Peruvian jungle. I believe she had gone there herself and interviewing a certain individual who goes by the name of Carlos Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R. And you'll find these talks at the beginning of the many, many videos, like 200 or more, that are currently available on her channel. Now, again, I'm not going to speak for her and her team. I'm not going to throw out a straw man argument. I'll just tell you what I suspect. I suspect first that Sylvie's interpretation of the evidence that she has found is deeply influenced by ayahuasca. I suspect that her experiences in ayahuasca trance have brought some material to her attention in the way that only the ayahuasca trance can do, and that what she has seen and learned and realized through taking ayahuasca plays a huge part in how she develops her evidence and the conclusions that she reaches from her evidence. I also suspect that there is an agenda for the promotion of an ayahuasca-based one-world religion looming up from within the vast body of research that New Earth is presenting. So, in regard to my suggestion that this talk is a preview, I would alert you to the possibility that in the near future, in the coming years, and especially significantly in 2019, this prospect might come into very strong definition. The idea that ayahuasca, the ayahuasca drink, could be used as a sacrament for a universal or one world religion seems to me so obvious that it hardly bears stating. Now, I proposed the visualization of a huge V coming down to a point straight in front of your eyes, the flamenco vector coming in from up and to the left, and the New Earth vector coming in from the right. And as you picture that V in front of you, bear in mind that there are already a number of convergent factors in these two vectors. For instance, Sylvie devotes a considerable number of her videos to propounding the flamenco hypothesis of stolen history and the new chronology. So she is definitely an advocate of flamenco's work. Secondly, you will find that if you look at the work of flamenco, you stand back and look at the overall picture of it rather than getting into the detail, which is massive and, to my mind, to a large degree, obfuscating, by which I mean that the material detail tends to obfuscate or render obscure the argument that it's making. But if you take a look at that aspect of flamenco's work, you'll find that there are a number of dominant themes, and one of those themes is the figure of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, flamenco took his cue from a Russian of an earlier generation known as Morozov, M-O-R-O-S-O-V, or Z-O-V, Morozov. And Morozov was the first one who proposed the notion that the chronological account of history, the linear sequence of historical events in a chronological account, was really wrong and had to be revised by the whacking off of many centuries, therefore bringing events in the past much closer to us today than we are taught to think. And Morozov's masterpiece book, which is widely discussed in Russia, I don't know if it's ever been translated into English, was called Christ. So, for Christ's sake, pay attention to the presence of Christ and Jesus / Christ looming through the work of flamenco. And then when you turn your attention from the flamenco vector over to the right and you look at the New Earth vector, well, you'll find that in the earliest and foundational videos on New Earth, there is an account of meeting Jesus Christ in an ayahuasca trance. So Jesus Christ appears as an active spiritual agency, if you will, in the ayahuasca component of Sylvie Ivanova's work, and it appears likewise mirrored in a complementary manner in flamenco's work. Now, what about the third vector? Well, imagine the third vector coming up vertically from below. So it comes up, as it were, out of the ground, and it joins the other two vectors at that convergence point. So you have a tripod, a triangulation. Where they join is right in front of your eyes. Now, if you look at this bottom vector, the vertical vector, you will find that is also defined by a YouTube channel, Mystery History. This channel was established in November of 2011, so that makes it, 2011. It's also when New Earth was established. In fact, the narrator of Mystery History does occasionally refer to New Earth and recommend New Earth as endorsing it, you see, endorsing the researches that Sylvie has done into megalithic sites and structures. The principal subject of Mystery History, which has about 388,000 subscribers and something over 110 million views, is megalithic sites. Now, the average video of Mystery History is only something like from 3.5 to 6.5 minutes long. Concentrated, clear, concise, presented with an ample amount of photographic evidence of megalithic structures all around the world. One thing I would say about Mystery History is that the narrator does not speculate. At least he hasn't done so until now. He only presents evidence, but he continually returns to a conclusion that he draws from his evidence. That conclusion is simple and clear. He concludes that the presence of these inexplicable megalithic sites, these cyclopean and titanic structures found all over the planet, points to a prehistorical civilization of high technological achievement. It points to a uniform civilization that possessed technology for massive earthworks and constructions in stone and shaping of stones and shaping of whole mountains that cannot be reproduced by technology today. That is the one conclusion that he gives. But the narrator of Mystery History does not, so far, take the next step to present his interpretation or hypothesis regarding who that was. Who were the Atlanteans? The Atlantean motif, referring to a prehistorical or pre-diluvian civilization that stretched around the entire world and produced these massive works of stone building, is shared by New Earth and Mystery History. But so far, Mystery History has been playing his cards very close to his chest. He hasn't advanced any hypothesis regarding who on Earth could have been on Earth, or who may have come to Earth, who possessed the kind of earth-molding, earth-shaping, rock-moving technology that could produce those ruins. However, just this month, in December, Mystery History presented a summary video. In that video, he made a crucial distinction between cyclopean architecture and megalithic polygonal architecture. Now, he has given in his videos a massive amount of evidence, photographic evidence, of both of these types of prehistoric megalithic structures. And he has shown that they can be found all around the world. You know, previous to my discovering his channel, I have done a fair amount of study of megalithic sites. And I have visited a number of outstanding sites around the world, in Cambodia, Egypt, British Isles, and elsewhere. And I can assure you that when I took up my interest in that subject, going back to Secrets of the Great Pyramid by Peter Tompkins, which came out in the 70s, I think, when I took up my interest in that subject, I had the idea, the general overview, that these ruins existed here and there around the world, and that they were relatively rare, and some countries had them and other countries didn't. Well, I can tell you, I changed my mind real fast about that after seeing the evidence presented by Mystery History. These monuments, with amazingly similar properties of construction and structural similarities, are all over the place. Finland, Siberia, Vietnam, I mean, they're everywhere. And they are so glaringly obvious in the way that they defy orthodox academic theory that it's breathtaking, really. One of the effects that I've drawn from watching the clips on Mystery History is the sense that these ruins and remains are irrefutable evidence of a technology that cannot be matched today. So doesn't that raise the question where that technology came from? So I like to position the vector of mystery history coming straight up out of the ground. You see that? It's the stem, the vertical vector, and then standing on that is the V of Fomenko to the left and New Earth to the right. And all three of these vectors are converging as I speak. And they are all converging into one massive narrative. And I have no doubt that this narrative will come to be defined in the year 2019 in a way it has not yet been defined, although it's been moving toward definition, as I said, for over a decade. I also suspect that as it comes into definition, it will assume or consume an enormous amount of interest through the medium of the internet. It already has captivated an enormous amount of interest, but I see it going really, really big. You might compare it to the Flat Earth movement of some years ago, which also went very, very big, and by some might still consider to be worthy of interest. In fact, I won't go into it now, but I can warn you that there are some very close parallels between the features of the Flat Earth movement and this configuration I'm describing. And I personally have some reason to believe that both of these phenomena may be coming from the same sources. So I'll leave it at that. That's my preview of what's to come. I'm telling you about an event on the horizon, and I'm also advising you that I will be commenting on that event. Perhaps I'll load some videos on Mandela Effect Decoded or on another one of my channels, or perhaps I'll feature them exclusively in Nemeta, or perhaps I'll do both, as I'm doing with this talk. So finally, because I love cliffhangers, I'm going to put this question in your mind. Well, When this whole thing breaks into the open, becomes, you know, a massive topic of interest, this whole configuration developing from these three vectors, when it escalates to a level of interest that it has not already achieved, well, what then? What happens then? Well, numerous things can happen then, but one thing is certain. One thing certainly will happen. That is that many people will ask the question, what happened here on Earth resulting in these massive megalithic structures which certainly required earth-moving and earth-shaping machines of some kind? Was it machines? Was it machines that did this? You know, according to Sylvia Ivanovna, some of the sites that she's examined, for instance, in Italy, in Tuscany, would appear to have been carved out by machines that have left their markings on the rock. So, if it was done by machines, who brought those machines to Earth, or who took them away from Earth? Because they certainly don't appear to be laying around anywhere alongside the ruins of what those machines did. So the question is twofold. The inevitable question here is twofold. What kind of machines were used, and who used them? So I leave you with that question. Some of you might already have in your mind the tinkling of a little notion that tells you where to go for the answer to that question. Now, I can assure you that I know where a lot of people are going to go to the answer to that question. And that also is another factor that will come into play once this triangulation consummates in the coming year and in the immediate years ahead. So I'll leave you with those thoughts for now. We'll pick it up again at some other time. Can't say where, can't say when. And until then, as I used to close off or sign off, Mandela Effect Decoded, may your attention be rewarded by the truth.